The Orange Grove City Council. Madam Clerk, will you roll call, please?
Meeting of the Orange Grove City Council, March 11th, 2015, 6:30 p.m. Mayor Victor Lopez.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Diana Garcia.
Present.
Council members Josie Cervantes, absent. Gilbert Garcia.
Present.
Minerva Pineda.
Present.
Staff, City Manager Sam Escobar.
Here.
City Attorney Bianca Sparks.
Present.
Finance Director Lambouie.
Here.
And Police Chief Marty Rivera.
Thank you very much. We have a call to do business. I'm going to ask everybody to please stand from the invocation and ask the Vice Mayor to lead us in prayer.
Yes, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so ever thankful for this wonderful day that you have given us. We thank you for just everything that you have done in the city of Orange Cove and with the community members, Lord. And I just pray for anybody in this community that needs your guidance and that needs your help and support, Father, that you may be with them. I also, Father God, I thank you for just this weather that we've been having, but we need rainwater really bad. And I ask, Father, that you help us in that and you hear us in that. And I pray for this council meeting that everything that's put forth in this agenda, you may take care of it, that you may give us the heart and the desire to follow through with whatever you have for the city of Orange Cove. And I thank you for everything, and I thank everybody.
Thank you very much. Now lead you in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Okay, we'll go to B on the agenda, confirmation of the agenda.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, it's my understanding that there's been a request to have the closed session moved to the next council meeting.
Okay, so that issue will be tabled then?
It won't be tabled, it'll just be moved to the next council meeting.
All right.
Thank you.
Great, thank you. All right. Okay, we'll go to C, presentation by Joe Anda, Director of the Julia Elope Child Development Center, report on the child care services at the Julia Elope Child Care Center. Joy?
Joy Anda, Program Director, Julia Lopez Child Development Center. Just here to kind of give an update and report. We currently have 124 children enrolled with a waiting list of 12 children. 8 of those children are not able to start until July due to the birthday cutoff. We currently have 5 classrooms with 3 classrooms of older children who will be graduating. And we're currently using with those 3 classrooms the new curriculum we've adapted called Blueprints. And we're working in conjunction with Kings Canyon Unified School District, along with the California State Foundations and the Desired Results Profile Results. And the 2 other classes we have with the younger children will be staying and moving up to the older classrooms. Currently, some of the training topics staff have been going to and will also have been attended and going to are Foundations for Early Writing, Foundations for Reading Comprehension, California's Quality Continuum Framework, the California Early Learning System, putting it all together, and practicing intervention early for childhood educators. I've continued to attend the Fresno County Child Development Consortium meetings. One meeting was held where there was a community care licensing update. The next meeting will be on mandated reporting. Staff are also trying new creative things with the children. They recently put on a little theatrical performance of Goldilocks and the Three Bears, and the children just really loved it. It was something really new and different that they really enjoyed. This spring, we're gonna be working on a garden. We got a garden grant to start up for $1,000. So that's something that's in the process, and we just continue to strive to provide the best services for the community in which we serve.
Great. Council, any questions to Ms. Anda on the program? Feel free to ask her any questions you might wish to ask.
And Mayor and Council, this is an informational item only.
Information?
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions?
You know what? I'm glad that you guys are using the district for blueprints. That is really neat. I heard the teachers really like that. So
they really do. You know, it was something really new, so it was kind of exciting, but the kids really, really benefited, and we've really seen a change, and the parents, you know, and staff are really seeing what a difference it's really making, because we kind of want everybody to be going into kindergarten on the same page.
And the desired results, that one I'm very familiar with, because I did the same thing myself, so. You know, people out there that maybe think that, you know, these daycares are just babysitting, but it's not. We have trained staff that go to school, have degrees, and, you know, we teach children out there. We do. We do have a lot that we teach them with and getting ready for kindergarten, and I think a lot of kindergarten teachers, they appreciate that, because I know you got feedback from the local schools here, and they're very happy with that, so keep up the good work. I know. I used to work there, so.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate your presentation. Okay, we'll go to D on the agenda. Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to address the City Council on items that are not already on the agenda? May do so now. Please come forward and state your name and your issue. Is there anybody in the audience that wishes to come before the City Council? Okay. Okay, Mr. Bosque.
My name is Bertha del Bosque. I live at 214 11th Street, and I want to address the problem that we have with the policy you make with the animal shelter. There's some things I have to say about education. You know, we believe in education. Our goals have been to spay and neuter, vaccine clinics, youth groups. We have 60 people involved in this. There's students from all over the areas. I want to make sure that it stays on the record that we have contacted Sam Escobar to make appointments with him by email, phone calls, and we haven't gotten a response. We have been working diligently for 2 years. And I want to show you evidence of what we're seeing in the streets. I know you guys can't come to my animal shelter, but I want you to see last week what we've done. This is what the problem is. A neurological disorder that the puppy has. This was thrown in the street. We as fosters have taken upon ourselves to get medical help for them. We transport, we go to all kinds of rescues. We do it with our own dollars. And, you know, I'm sorry you couldn't even go see it, but, you know, I want to speak in the behalf of the animal shelter. We have done this with our own means. We haven't taken anything from the city. And, you know, to put on record, I have never told Public Works what to do. But I sure have taken upon myself to do the job. This is my witness here. This little puppy. This is what I'm trying to say. This is life. I mean, it's as insignificant as people think it is. It's like an aborted child. You send him onto a street. And I wanted to bring it to your attention. Give us the time to, you know, do our nonprofit. I'm not asking for more than 5 months. It's been 6 months since we came here, and I want to speak in the behalf of the animals. They're trainable, they're healthy, and they're adoptable. And I don't see any reason in the world why we have to put them down. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to address the council?
My name is Lupi Silva, and I live here in Orange Cove. I've lived here for over 35 years. For the past 35 years, it's always been the same problem. Euthanizing. They pick up the dogs, they euthanize them. We still have the problem. Nothing has happened. You know, people go out and go out and get another dog. They'd rather go to the swap meet and they get another one for 10 bucks. We need to address all these people that are doing the illegal breeding here in town. We need to spay and neuter. We need to, this last summer, just in 2 months, we did almost 200 dogs. That's not counting cats. I mean, there's at least 200 dogs less out in the street. You know, you had mentioned that maybe we should put in the water bill. A lot of people don't read, you know. I don't know. I don't. You know, I don't. I look at what I owe and I pay and that's it. I don't read the small print. So I don't think a lot of these other people do. So I want to just ask you guys to give us a little bit of more time so we can go nonprofit. You know, and so we can go, maybe, I've seen a lot of you guys go door to door when you're campaigning. Why can't some of you guys go with us door to door and explain to the people how important it is to spay and neuter? You know, get their address, their name, like we did last summer, and, you know, apply for grants. The PetSmart grant was only $10 per pet, no matter what size. $10, that's super cheap. If any of you guys have ever spayed and neutered your own dogs, you know, depending on the size, it's going to be at least $150. So $10 is nothing. if we can help the community. Last summer, we had to pay out of our own pocket for some of these dogs, and we all have a bunch of dogs ourselves and cats. You know, all we're asking is give us a chance. These little dogs, they weren't asked to be brought to the world. It's all these ignorant people that don't want to take responsibility. They should take responsibility. If they can't take care of animals, then they shouldn't have any, or they should get them fixed. They want an animal to take care of their home, but they don't want to take the responsibility of putting a fence up or fixing the fence, you know. So I'm just asking if you guys can please just give us a little bit more time to go nonprofit. We were promised that 2 grants were going to be, you know, applied. We were going to get grants to get spay neutered. Come to find out by December, none of the grants, there were no applications made. So we lost out on those grants, you know, and that's all we need. You know, we spend our time and everything, which is okay, but we need to educate these people. A lot of these people say, oh, they're just dogs, big deal. Yeah, it's a big deal to them, but they don't realize that they're going to be killed. Euthanizing, they don't realize the word means killing them. They turn around and go get another little dog because it's little and cute and fluffy. That little dog's going to grow up. That little dog's going to be teething, chewing on things, you know, and if they don't take care of that dog's going to go bite somebody. So I think they need to be responsible for their animals. You know, I'm sorry if you guys are bored with this, but it is a problem here in town. And it's been like this since, like I said, I've been here 35 years. Euthanizing does not work. We need to spay and neuter. Eventually, those dogs are going to quit being out in the street. They'll be home because they're not going to be out looking for a mate. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Hello, good evening. My name is Denise Salazar. I understand that you have your mindset on the specific solution, so you say, but with all due respect, I think you're making a huge mistake. As a mayor of the city, I can only imagine your stress and the need to make the city a better place. However, this decision is not going to solve the problem. I hate that we come to these meetings prepared for a battle. I'm sure I'm speaking for all the volunteers when I say that we don't want it to be a fight. We only wish that you guys can work with us. Together as a team, we can solve this problem. I know your reputation is important, Mr. Mayor, but you have to remember that Rome was not built in a day. I guarantee the people who call you now and show up to your doorstep, concerned and confused on why you haven't resolved this problem, it will never end. The dogs will continue to multiply, the shelter will always be full, and the complaints of the residents will remain. Violence is never the solution, and killing innocent and vulnerable animals is an act of violence. Educating the people of this town about spaying and neutering would be a lot more successful because the problem begins with the people, the irresponsible owners, not the dogs. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Rainey Anderson, City of Visalia. Tonight I'd like to remind the City Council that the volunteers of the Orange Cove Animal Shelter are once again extending their hand in partnership with the City of Orange Cove. This is a hand that has been offered many times, and we are still waiting for the city to come to the table to have meaningful discussion with us. Mayor Lopez, last session you told us, please contact the city manager if you have ideas or suggestions. I've done that many times. In fact, I've emailed both you and Sam many times beginning January of this year up until just earlier this week. I've asked for meetings. I've shared goals that we can accomplish together. I've shared information, and I've asked for you both to please partner with us so that collectively we can accomplish great things for the City of Orange Cove. To date, I have received no response from either of you, and I stand here tonight to ask you why. Why is it that the City of Orange Cove is not pleased to have a group of volunteers who work every weekend and every holiday caring for these dogs? A group that gives of their own time, of their own money, a group that has placed hundreds of dogs from this very community into adoptive homes, foster care, and rescues. A group that community members reach out to when they have an animal in need. A group that has been nominated for the 2014 Volunteer Group of the Year. A group that the local Orange Cove Girl Scout troops just recently selected for their community impact project. Why won't the city respond to requests to partner with us? Why won't the city engage in a meaningful discussion about spaying and neutering? I would like to think that any city would be thrilled to have volunteers who are making their community a better place. Volunteers even who drive from other cities to come and help make a community that isn't even their own a better place. And I think it's time that this has to be said. It's time to set aside the personal issues from the past and let's conduct professional and respectful business. I would like to think when you receive an email from somebody who's trying to help your community, it would be common courtesy to respond to said email. Euthanizing dogs is not the answer to your problem. Your new proposal of an ordinance does not address the root cause of the pet overpopulation problem. Euthanizing animals merely addresses a symptom of the problem, and there is therefore not a sustainable solution. Each time you kill a dog that no one will admit to owning, there is no accountability, there is no impact. You've changed nothing, and the dog will simply be replaced. The true root cause of the stray overpopulation is decades of negligent breeding, lack of knowledge on appropriate pet care, and access to low-cost and spay and neutering. Addressing the root cause is a sustainable solution. Each time you educate someone or spay and neuter a dog, progress is made, and it is sustainable progress. It's real. You have put change into effect, and you can build upon that. In closing tonight, I ask that you please acknowledge us. We are doing phenomenal things for this community. Please stop ignoring the information that we are sharing with you about spaying and neutering, and join us. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Carrie O'Keefe, Orange Grove. I just don't understand that if any of you have truly even thought about this issue, the common sense for just the city alone. You may not have a heart for animals, but if you have a heart for this city, think about the things that you want to attract to this city. You want to attract new business. You want to attract a better way of life for people. And you'd be surprised, the Animal Welfare Society throughout this country, how word travels. And you'd be surprised at how many people will look down upon this city for handling this the way that you intend on handling it. And I brought this up last time I was here. They've all brought it up, how important education is. And I don't understand why it's so hard, you know, to try and, you know, work with different groups to bring in spay and neuter, to bring in the vaccinations more often, and to educate these people. It is never going to end. The problem is just going to keep getting worse and worse and worse. And at least before you make a decision on this, educate yourselves as a group. Go down to the shelter. Spend a day there and volunteer. And that'll just be a little tiny, tiny glimpse of what all of these volunteers do. You'd be amazed at the time and hours that they put in. Please, I'm begging you. Return phone calls, return emails. I'm seeing a lot of hypocrisy here, and I don't like it. You know, I've been told by some of you that you want to work with the volunteers, that you want to work with the city and solve this problem. And now I'm hearing a lot of different things, and I don't appreciate it. You expect us to be upfront with you and honest, you know, and put forth in this community our hearts. We need to get it back. If you want it from us, then you need to give it to us. So please, go down there, spend some time, educate yourself. Truly, don't just sit here. You're only getting little glimpses here and there of what's going on. Educate yourselves and see what goes on there every day before you make a decision on this. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Good evening. My name is Cliff Thornton. I'm a physician assistant. I do trauma medicine. And I've been doing it for the past 17 years. And one thing that I despise is a kid coming into the emergency room with lacerations and bite marks from a stray dog that they just happened to come upon. On my way here tonight, driving through, there was a white medium-sized dog chasing a guy on a bicycle. We're the ones in the ER that have to sew up those lacerations and give them and set them up for tetanus and order tetanus on these dogs that eventually sometimes they have to have their heads cut off so that they can be identified as to having rabies or not. And then these poor kids have to go through these injections, and just because they were riding their bike and a stray dog bit them. So please listen to these volunteers, you know, help everybody in this situation get educated as to how to spay and neuter their animals. Thank you very much.
Anybody else?
Good evening, Mayor, members of council. Tom Greenwood, Orange Grove Fire Department. Just wanted to remind the council and the public, March 28th is our Volunteer Firefighter Association's dinner dance at the community center. We'd like to see all of the council, the mayor there, all the public there. Just wanted to let you know again how important it is that we make big money on this event. We hold it once a year. This money goes into the Volunteer Firefighters Association. We use that money to buy the specialty tools, the cool things that the firefighters want that the district can't afford to buy. So it's money well earned out there. We really need the help. Invite your family, invite your friends. We're looking for donations. We're looking for raffle prizes, auction prizes. Anything you folks could do for us, we would sure appreciate it, and we'd love to see all of you there, March 28th.
Thank you. Okay, anybody else in the audience?
Good evening, City Council. My name is Cynthia, and I recently started volunteering at the animal shelter, I would say 2 months. I just have some pictures here. This is Fabulous, and this is Bella. Most people who would see these dogs would think that they were aggressive dogs or might bite. Their Bella is spayed and Fabulous is neutered, and they are not aggressive at all. Now, the aggressive dogs that are out there are unspayed. And the mayor had brought up a good point last time where a person, an owner, a resident of Orange Cove, had a dog who bit a person who did not care. That person is going to have that dog taken away from him. It's going to get euthanized, and that person is going to get another dog, and I can guarantee you that that dog is not spayed or neutered. So please do not take it out on the animals. It's the animals that can be rehabilitated. It's the owners who need to be educated and realize that spay and neutering will decrease the aggression that these animals have, which will prevent bites. If you have these animals euthanized, it's not going to resolve the issue. It's just going to basically sweep it under the rug. So please, we are here to ask the City Council to please, and we encourage you to partner with us to have or come up with a solution rather than just sweeping it under the rug. Thank you.
Okay, anybody else in the audience that wishes to address this issue right now?
Mayor Lopez, Sam, council people, Tom Mulholland from Orange Cove. And I got my first dog over 60 years ago here in this community. And dogs are an important part of everybody's lives. This is an issue that shouldn't be taken as lightly as maybe it has been. And maybe you need to recognize some of the issues. And I want to thank all the public. You did an excellent job, and you make excellent points. And that is what needs to be said, because that's the humane part about animal life. We all use them. And my dogs, by the way, were guide dogs for the blind. So I raised pups for that. And so I've been training dogs all my life. And I am the recipient of dogs from Orange Cove. Out there that I take care of on my ranch. And I have one of the largest herds of dogs right next door to me that is being taken care of. But all those issues are being taken care of, but the issue is responsibility. That's the issue. And guess whose responsibility, whose shoulders the responsibility falls on? It's the City of Orange Cove. It's you folks. You're the ones that are responsible, because you're the ones taking care of the people in the community who own the dogs. And ownership is it's a gift. And if you can't take the responsibility, then you're not doing your job to protect your city from situations that have been explained. So my position here is, and I would propose to you, that you table this issue that you're dealing with, and you look at it, and you say, look, what are the regulations first, which I'm not familiar with, and I'm sorry I didn't research it, but what does the city have as far as regulations of dog ownership and dog licensing, and what are you doing about it? Who do you have responsible in charge of those things? Do you have the dog's license for every dog, a dog's license for every dog in the city? I question whether you do or not, but you should. It's only a town of 10,000 people. It's not that big a deal. You know where the dogs are. You can do a population control as you do with people. You know everybody's address. You should have the dogs as well. It's you don't have to do goldfish. You don't have to do the rest of them because none of those animals. But it's your responsibility, Mayor, to take this action, to go out there and be responsible for those people that are supposed to be responsible for their dogs. That's why you're sitting here. It's you that's supposed to be in charge here, not anybody else. These people are pleading with you, and they're volunteers, and they're giving you free time, free money. And then you're not taking advantage of it because of the concept. About that, you know, did you hear the news today in Utah? You know, they can't give them a drug for youth, for capital punishment, so they're going to go back to the five bullets. Four of them are alive and one of them isn't, and they're going to kill them that way. You want to kill human beings that way? You want to kill dogs that way? How do you want to kill people or dogs? You want to talk about that? You want to talk about the action that you're looking forward to taking place here? That's the way I see it. So step up to this one. This isn't about water. This isn't about all the big issues. This is about life. And so maybe you better just table it and then figure out a solution as a city. And I you council people, you may be led in a lot of different ways. Any decision, but go ahead and do it properly. That's all I'm saying. And so thank you mostly to the public for bringing up the issue because it is a big issue and something that it's a regulation that you can make here and you can change the rules and then you can get control of it. But if you don't change the rules, you can't have control of it.
Thank you. Anybody else in the audience who wishes to address this issue, please come forward. Okay, being none, the manager, any questions on this issue?
Mayor and Council, we do have this item on consent since we've already brought it to Council three times now. I'll also ask our city attorney to kind of clarify a couple of issues that we have and comments that have been brought up, if you want to wait for the consent. The ordinance, like Mr. Mulholland said, you know, he hasn't had a chance to actually read the ordinance, but that's what the ordinance does, is it gives us the tool to hold our residents accountable. So there's ownership of pets and accountability there. That's something we don't have now. We went from a 2-3 page ordinance that was very vague and didn't have clear definitions even for certain pets, the licensing. Now we have an ordinance that's a 26-page ordinance that really defines what animal ownership is, the accountability of that, and that's what this ordinance does. It gives us that ability to come back and enforce that and make sure that our residents are responsible for their pets, and if they're not responsible for their pets, then there's ramifications because of it.
Exactly.
Mr. Mayor, if I may, just to add to what Mr. Escobar indicated, the ordinance specifically addresses spaying and neutering. It has specific requirements for that. It has specific licensing requirements. The ordinance does not deal at all with the animal shelter and the volunteer operation of the animal shelter. The ordinance only deals with requirements that we're setting forth for the city's residents. No issues with respect to the animal shelter are on the agenda this evening.
The council, anybody wish to make any comments? You know, I'm gonna, as a mayor of the city of Orange Cove, I'm gonna say, you know, I love animals. I love dogs. I have two at home. But I would wish that the citizens of Orange Cove would be responsible citizens. And I get it at the supermarket, I get it at the bank, I get it all over the place. Why are all these dogs all over this community here? Why aren't you taking care of this? And I plead and I ask the community to please take the issue and be responsible. Be responsible. My neighbor lost her dog because she didn't listen to me. The transit ran over her and killed that little puppy. And I told her, I kept telling her, and it happened. Okay? And we're not here to belittle or to hurt anybody's feelings. What we're here and asking is to people to please be responsible dog owners. You know, because there's opinions and everybody is entitled to an opinion and everybody has rights. and those rights have to be respected of every individual. So we're seeing, as a city council, me as a mayor, I'm saying, you know, let's show the community that we can do a better job than we've done in the past. And this whole thing will just blow away. Okay? Because believe me, I had people come here at City Hall in front and tell me that they're sick and tired. I had people call me on my cell phone, can you come over here and pick up these three vicious dogs in front of my yard? And all I can tell them is call City Hall. They call City Hall. City Hall is not going to deal with it. Okay? So what I'm saying is that, you know, we're here to work with the community, you know, and I'm hoping that the community is going to change their attitudes and going to start working with us and help us remedy this situation right here. Yes, sir.
May I ask a question? Is there a fine that's worked into the ordinance in disobedience of ownership?
Yes, there is.
Is that ever used?
Yes, we use it. Yes. But a lot of times, what happens is that people will not come pick up their dog. Just, you know, let it go.
But no, the fine, the ordinance, I think there would be a fine associated.
There is a fine. Sam, what is the fine on that?
It's based on the fee schedule. The current fine that we have, I think it's like $10, and every day the dog stayed there, it's another dollar per day. That's kind of what we're talked about, is our ordinance and the fees. But even with that, you know, owners say, well, you know, I can't afford it, and so they just leave their dog. And so now we're left with the situation of holding a dog because they just don't want to pay the fine, so we have to keep the dog.
But under licensing rule, you'd be able to lean against those people because they had license and agreed once they licensed that they would pay that fee if they were in abuse. And those are the types of teeth that you need in the ordinance. That's what I'm saying. Reread the ordinance and write it so it's proper so that you can deal with it. I mean, I think that's what the city needs to do at this point. Like any city should deal with it.
Right.
Can I just make one more point? I think one of the things, the issues we're skimming over here too as well is as far as the euthanizing these animals. And that the city is not giving the volunteers and the organization enough time to network these animals to get them out. Okay, and that's one of the biggest issues. You know, working hand in hand as far as education and everything, but you know, I mean, you'd be amazed at how many of these animals have been moved out. Mm-hmm. This is why I keep telling you, come down and educate yourselves. This is one of the biggest issues as far as these animals being euthanized and not giving the people enough time to network them and get them out to rescues.
Yeah. Sam, you want to respond to the gentleman on the fines that we have?
Well, that's, I mean, this is, Mayor and members of the public, this is kind of it's a bigger challenge for us as a community, especially when we're dealing with, again, an antiquated ordinance that we have. The challenge of getting residents to actually comply to, you know, also the dog licensing, and we worked in the past with the volunteers to do that. I'm not sure how many licensed dogs we got that day when we did the spay and neuter and the shots and vaccinations, but that's also the challenge that we have. Even though we have, I mean, there's all kinds of situations that we've had to deal with, even though we know that a dog goes to a certain residence every single night, during the day they're out, you know, wandering around and the streets, we can go back and then the owner says, it's not my dog. So he's not a licensed dog. And so that's another challenge that we have. And, you know, we're limited in our staff and what we have time to work on. So this is just on top of, you know, other issues that we have to deal with. And so this is the first step for us to start the process of finding a solution for our animal control.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes, ma'am.
You know, I hear a little bit of difference between what's being said and what's being heard, I think, a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because you have volunteers saying, you're saying, Sam, and I'm not criticizing, but you're saying you don't have the staff and so on to manage the dogs that come in. And then I hear this line of people saying, I want to volunteer, and there just seems to be a disconnect between what you guys want to do and what they want to do.
Use volunteers for that.
And community service, but another thing, I think tabling it, as Tom said, might be a smart thing to do for a little while, because applying for a 501c3, I think it's been done, takes a little bit of time, and when that does come through, they'll have the ability to get donations, because I know the town doesn't have the money to deal with a lot of this, but I think in the interim, I think a lot of people donate. and get us through the interim time until they do have an opportunity to become a nonprofit organization. I think it really builds a community when the whole community comes out to talk about it. I think it's a really positive thing.
And Ms. Booth, you know, that's the original intent that we had with working with the volunteers, is for them to, you know, we wanted to emulate what the city of San Juan did with a council member there was had the same passion for the animals. They formed a 501c3. The city then contracted with them directly for animal control and then the animal shelter. And that's kind of what we were hoping to move forward with. And I know this the process for the 501c3 has really taken longer than anticipated.
It's a year. We've only been at it for 6 months.
And so, you know, that's something that, you know, we're having to deal with. Also the liability issues that, you know, now working with our city attorney on, volunteers at the shelter and so forth. And, you know, our hope was to move forward. But this is just one step for us to really give us the teeth, as Mr. Mulholland said, to deal with the ownership issue.
But those liabilities that you're talking about have been in place for,
I mean,
for 60 years, you know, I mean, and so giving somebody another few months to get the vehicle in place in order to be able to carry the problem forward a little bit, I don't think is asking a lot.
Yeah, I think, you know, just like our city attorney, you know, mentioned earlier, the volunteers at the shelter is not in question tonight, or it's really just the ordinance that would give us that ability, you know, for the accountability and gives us, you know, the specifics on animal control. Mm-hmm. The shelter is not being discussed at the moment.
No, but the euthanization is.
No, I'm talking about the euthanization of the dogs.
The euthanization is. You know, and if you've been so concerned about the liabilities, why is there not a full-time trained animal officer? You'd be saving yourselves a lot of money that way.
Mr. Mayor, we have closed public comments, my understanding, and so it would be appropriate for the council to move to the next item if you feel that's how you would like to move forward.
Okay. Yes, thank you very much. Okay, we'll go to
we need a motion on the consent calendar?
No.
We haven't gotten it.
Huh?
Oh.
We haven't gotten there. You're at it now.
Right. Yes. Yes. Consent calendar. We need a motion to approve the consent calendar presented, or if there's any changes.
No, I'd like to go ahead and up.
Mayor and Council?
Go ahead.
I'd like to make a correction to the City Council minutes of January 28th, item F5. And the item is the California Department of Education Local Agreement for Child Development Services, fiscal year 2014-2015. And the correction for the yes vote should read Garcia, Pineda, and Cervantes, and Lopez and Silva recused themselves and stepped out of the council chambers.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for the correction.
Okay, with that amendment.
Mr. Mayor, I'm sorry, members. I just have one more correction to the minutes of February 11, 2015. With respect to the animal control ordinance, that item was not tabled. The item was removed from the agenda.
Okay. Okay, we need a motion to go ahead and approve with those changes.
Yeah, I make the motion. Go ahead and approve the consent calendar with the changes.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I second.
We have a second. Any further discussion? Anybody in the public? Being none, all in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Yes, Mayor, I'd like to announce the yes vote with the changes to January 28th and February 11th, 2015 City Council minutes. And yes vote is Silva, Pineda, Lopez, and Garcia.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, letter F, administration. Number one, finance director. Presentation, discussion regarding monthly financials for November 30th, 2014, December 31st, 2014, to January 31st, 2015.
I'm going to go over the most recent, January 1st, 2015.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to skip page 1, 2, and 3 and go to a summary, which I put on page 4. Mm-hmm. Looks like this.
Yes.
On page 4. So the first line item is cash in our bank, which is our operating cash account. and we have 862,000. That is used to finance the day-to-day operations of the city, and that includes payroll, what we use to pay for salary and benefits. The second line is LAIF, which is our only investment account, and we have 3.8 million. Only 2.5 million is general fund money, which is unrestricted money. The last one is cash with trustee. We have 790,000, and that money is reserved for debt service payment on the 1995 COF. And then 777,000 is unspent bond proceeds, and that money is to be spent down on community development.
Okay, council, any questions on those? On those issues? Okay, being none, then we need a motion to approve the report.
Informational?
Okay. All right, thank you.
Excuse me, just a point of order, public, or a question? Mayor? May we ask you a question of important order on the consent calendar? It was said to me, I thought I heard that it had been withdrawn, the readings of the ordinance, so therefore this would have been misinterpreted. Is this the second reading? Am I reading this incorrect? That there was a first reading, it says repeat, so was there a first at that time if it had been withdrawn? It couldn't have been. So I'm saying that this is presented and the passing of this would be incorrect because it couldn't have been the second reading if you withdrew it from the agenda.
Mr. Mayor, if I may, the ordinance was introduced in January, I believe, if the city clerk can...
The 28th.
January 28th, and that was the first reading of the ordinance. The second reading was held over to February 11th. Or February 25th, and then we had discussion at that date. There were some changes that were made to it, and so it had to come back for another second reading, which was appropriately put on the consent calendar.
And we didn't hear that today in order, a fashion of order. I would think that we would hear the reading of it. And you consented without reading, so I think that that would be out of order.
Mr. Mayor, this item was properly agendized in accordance with the provisions of the Brown Act.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, we'll go to number two, Police Department. Okay, presentation and discussion regarding the monthly statistical report.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, and ladies and gentlemen, Council. I've come before today. First thing I'm going to do is give you the monthly report as far as the Police Department. First off, we still have 11 officers in the department. Officer Pompa is going through background for the City of Hollister, like I mentioned previously. Got some family issues back in the finals, and they actually came through here and checked this package with us a couple days ago. So we anticipate that he probably, they told me that he was doing very well and thus far in the background, so I anticipate this probably gonna be in 2 or 3 weeks, I imagine. As far as reserve officers, we still have a total of 3. 2 of them are level 1s, which means that they go out of patrol by themselves, and one's a level 2, he's the one that works at Table Mountain and has no intention to become a level one. Officer Bravo, who previously worked for the department, has asked to return as a he'd like to get a full-time job, but I told him he didn't have a position, but he is willing to accept a reserve officer position, so we anticipate that he's going to be coming back on board with us in the next week or so. Now the Explorer program, so we're still at 11 members, and I'll be talking about several events that are coming up, and we do plan to use them on some of the events. They've been going through different types of training, and they're functioning very well. Training that the police officers have gone through in the police department, we've started some of the skills training. Skills training is required training that the police officers need to get every year to maintain their peace officer status, and they're going to the sheriff's department for this training. And then we've begun that training. Some have already gone last week, and some will be going next week and into the rest of the month. We also send former officers to radar training for radar school. You guys asked us to give more citations, and one of the things we use is the radar gun to give more citations. I'll be going over that in a minute as far as during the statistics, what we've done there. And Sylvia, the record supervisor, has gone through another week of training, and she said she learned a lot of stuff that's going to be beneficial to the department and to the city. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about grants. first grant I want to talk about is the BSCC grant, which is a Board of State Community Corrections grant with implementation of Prop 47, where a lot of prisoners were shifted out of the prison into the jails and consequently into our cities. It's going to create a problem for all the cities in the whole state as far as more criminals on the street. Crimes were previously felonies are now misdemeanors, which means that we'll either cite them out. There's no point. Some of them will take jail, but they'll be cited out to jail because they won't be held because they're just misdemeanors. A lot of these are drug crimes, and these are going to become misdemeanors, and it's unfortunate, but that's why the public decided to vote with Proposition 47. So it is going to have an impact on crime. The BSCC grant is a grant that started probably a little over 3 years ago, right before I was hired. And money is given to the state each year. The state gives money to every county. And over the last 3 years, they've been giving some funds. And this money is then, they go to each county. However, the money has to be spent the way the police chiefs of the county vote for the money to be spent. I only get one vote, and every department gets a vote as how it's been spent. Prior to my becoming the chief, they had decided how to spend some of the money. And it was not only a one-year project, but it was over several years. And I'll tell you what some of that money's gone to, so you guys understand it. This year, for example, they got $1,699,324. That's what the county got, and this is, like I said, to be spent by the police chiefs. We're still continuing what they started just prior to I arrived here at the district attorney's office. And thus far, over the first 2 years, they received 993,254 years, and they're still working on the same project. And a lot of that has to do with the e-filing stuff and stuff to make it better. We're talking about also the cops type stuff that makes it so that we'll be able to communicate, get the information from not only our city and the surrounding cities readily, but we'll be able to get it all the way across the Italy, eventually be linked up across the state, and we'll find out what people are doing, what crimes occurring, what's tracking into Fresno County and into our city. We'll be able to find out by just going online and getting into this network. Another thing that they decided several years ago was crime analysts, and this year, for example, of the money that was given this year, Clovis PD will get $106,403 of that. Fresno PD is getting $406,941, and that pays for crime analysts. And what they decided, previously, is that Fresno PD's got such large population. According to Jerry Dyer, they got 65% of the population of the county. And consequently, they get the biggest majority of the money. And they've got several crime analysts. They've got five crime analysts, one of which works in the West Side cities and one works in the East Side cities, giving us analysis of crime and where it's going to occur, what's occurred and where it's going to occur. I actually told them that the city of Orange Cove does not benefit much from this crime analyst stuff because, honestly, the crime in the city is such little. It's so little. To us, it's big, but comparatively to what crime analysts need to be able to say, to predict where it's going to next time it's going to occur, city's too small, and the crime we get is not enough for them to be able to predict it. But it's something that the other chiefs all decided is important. And even though I told them I would prefer to get a portion of that money so we could use the way we want, where it would benefit us most, they actually voted me down. The small cities, I think of the small cities, I can tell you that Coalinga and Huron and myself voted against it, against some of this money. However, the small cities in the west side, Kerman is bigger, so they said yes, and Mendota and Fireball were not there. The small cities here, even Fowler's got less crime than we do. They think it's important, so we did lose that out on that portion. Public engines, they're spending $100,980 on that. And again, that goes all with this computer programming and stuff to make it so that Fresno PD's computer can interface with the Sheriff's Department computer. And the Sheriff's Department computer is what we use that the program they have there, and that's what most of the small cities are using. So they're trying to interface all that stuff with public engines, and they've also paid or spent $100,000 for a computer programmer to work all these programs out. Another thing that I was opposed to was prisoner transportation. And the reason I was opposed to it is because Fresno PD is, they decided to give Fresno PD $100,000 to transport their prisoners within the city of, from Clovis and Fresno into the city jail, which I said is a 10-minute drive. And I said, you know, you've been transporting your own prisoners, why do you need $100,000? But I guess a lot of chiefs listened to Chief Dyer a lot, and they decided that's okay. They also said that they'd give $100,000 for transportation from the outlying cities like ourselves, and that $100,000 would go to the Sheriff's Department. And the Sheriff's Department would then provide transportation for our prisoners to from the county jail. Mm-hmm. My opposition to that is the number of hours that they'd be working during the day. I said, what happens late night when I've only got two officers and your person is already off duty, mm-hmm. and now we still have to transport? I said, I think if you give us $100,000 to the small cities, even if we only get a small portion, say we get $9,000 mm-hmm. for the city, I said I can better use it by paying somebody. I've got an officer that lives right here in the city, Officer Galvez. I said I can call him, he'll come in and transport a prisoner, and it will cost us less money than what we're going to be spending to supplement the Sheriff's Department. Mm-hmm. Again, like I said, my vote was not good enough. They also voted to give $350,000 to get some mental health workers, clinical nurses type to into the cities out in the areas. However, they only got one bid, and it looks like that may not fly. So that $350,000 is still available. And they also gave $150,000 for mental health training for all the officers in the county. Our officers have already gone through that mental health training to how to deal with mental health problems, mental health people, this kind of stuff. And that $150,000 will actually, we've got till next month to get reimbursed for the backfill that we might have had for those 4 hours of training that officers took in that. Another thing they ordered 150 video policing and body cameras, Fresno PD, $150,000, Clovis PD, $25,000, and the rural small cities, $120,000. To be spent according to number of officers for video policing body cameras. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that they're ready to pass some of these, push some of the stuff on us, and I asked for another meeting. I met with them last week. All the chiefs met from the county, and we discussed it back and forth. And we decided, as far as body cameras, we think body cameras is probably going to be coming. We think it's probably going to be forced on us by the legislature, probably by next year. Mm-hmm. We also feel that that there'll be federal money to reimburse the cities for some of that. So Jerry Dyer's already started buying body cameras for his people. We currently have body cameras, a few body cameras that were bought prior to by the previous chief, and some of the officers are using those. But either way, we're not going to spend any more money on body cameras for now, because we feel like the feds will be giving us money back for them when it does, when they push the program on us. So of that 900 and, I previously said there was $993,254 given to the DA's office for a lot of this computer stuff. They've actually only spent about half of that. And so a lot of that money's going to be coming back. And then the chiefs will decide how we're going to spread this money around. I, of course, am trying to get as much money as I can for our individual city, for our individual needs. Part of this video policing stuff may be, you know, we previously agreed or in the past that we're going to put the skate park cameras. We haven't spent that. We haven't purchased that yet. Maybe some of that money could be used for that, for example. So once we get a determination how that proposal, how we should spend the money, and all that, we'll be trying to get as much as we can for our city, of course. In regards to domestic violence grant that we submitted in December, we did not get it. Give it to us. Another city got it. I have not gotten anything officially from it, but I was told that the city did not receive it. A grant that we did get, I submitted for a small grant from Homeland Security back in September. That money could only be spent for certain, had a list of stuff that we could buy, and we did get approved for stuff that we submitted. The small grant is only $8,658. And some of the things that we asked for a shredder, we asked for three desktop computers, we asked for a portable projector to do presentations on. We asked for a portable gasoline generator. That's something that maybe the PD won't be able to use, but someone in the city, I'm sure, will have use for it sometime. We did ask for some ear protection for when the officers are at the shooting range, and so we'll be getting 10 of those, and we also asked for some ballistic helmets, and they'll be getting 5 of those. And that's what I can tell you as far as the grants. As far as the cars, you previously said approved us to get the 2 SUVs. They have been on order. I don't know exactly when we're going to get them. I suspect it'll probably be another 4 to 8 weeks. And at that time, we'll do the transition and start doing that. We had also been checking into they wanted to change the server at the police department, something would interface right there at the city hall. Mm-hmm. And the IT people are working on that still. They previously come with a bid. Now they're going to be submitting another bid of some stuff that we may be able to use. And they said it should be coming forth with pretty soon. And I'm sure it's going to be less than what they previously said. As far as cameras, like I said, we previously had approved the skate park. Cameras have still not gone in. We're still waiting for Public Works to give us the bid for the lights that they're going to go in with that. The camera people are ready to put them in whenever we want. Another thing that occurred is we suggested that the city start making people that are doing the big prowls projects and they're buying new or new business to install cameras. Orchard Village did approve 18 cameras for Orchard Village. Mm-hmm. I met with the owners of the group that owns Orchard Village. I met with a man that's going to be running the whole construction project. They are going to be, they approved the cameras for 18 cameras, like I say, to be put in different parts. It's going to cover Orchard Village real well. It's going to help us. The cameras are going to interface with whatever we get. In fact, they said we're going to get them in real soon because they want to start the construction project, I think, in the next couple of weeks. So they're going to put the cameras in ahead of time so it'll kind of protect their equipment while they're doing the project as well. And like I say, we'll interface with us. We'll be able to get it on our cell phones, computers, and we'll have video at the police department. They'll be able to look at the video themselves over there, but they will not have access to all of our other stuff, any other cameras that we have in the city. So we are anxious to get that, that skate park thing going. K-9 is working, and we're going to be using it for some search warrants in the very, very near future that we've got going. Now, events that we've got coming up. March the 21st is the 5K run. The school's having the 5K run. That's money that's going to be going for the seniors that are going to be traveling different colleges to see site visits, to see which colleges they want to apply for or get into. And so they've asked us to give them a route for them to run, a 5K run route, and we're going to be providing some sort of security for traffic while they do the route. I changed the route a little bit because I wanted to keep it away from some of the busier intersections or some of the most heavily traveled intersections. We're still going to have some of that because there's no way to get around it. But basically what they're going to be doing is they're going to be starting at Anchor and Parker. They're going to be running eastbound to Jacobs. They'll come straight up Jacobs, right up here to Park. They'll come right here on Park Avenue and right here with on 5th or 6th rather. They're going to be crossing the street, going back the same way they came. Once they get to South Avenue, they'll be going over to Anchor and back to the corner of Anchor and Parlier. That's the 21st. It's supposed to start at 9 in the morning.
Who's sponsoring that?
It's a high school's got the group.
High school?
No.
It's the AVID program.
Yeah, the ad program. So anyway, they're going to, we will be taking care of that. We anticipate that we'll have some of the streets closed for about an hour and a half. Most of the runners should be done by then. They're also going to have a 2K walk, which basically part here to Jacobs to south there to Anchor and then back down. Another thing that's coming through on the 28th, the afternoon of the 28th, previously We had the presentation regarding the Vietnam Wall, the replica, and I understand the city donates money for that, and they're going to be bringing it through the city. It's not going to be stopped here. It's just going to be coming through. It's going to be on the 28th. I have not got all the particulars on it yet. They said it's just going to be probably sometime around 2 or 3. They're coming down 99 with it, getting on Mendocino and Kingsburg, then going north, coming through Parlier, Reedy, and then through the city of Orange Grove, down to Rossi, and then I think over to TV Cutler, and then back to Denver, where it will be at the American Legion Hall. With this memorial coming through, they're going to have 300 motorcycles leading it or escorting it, following it.
Wow.
So it's going to be a little bit of a headache for us.
Yeah.
As far
so
as
they'll come into Orange Grove?
They're going to be coming through Orange Grove. I think they've already checked with June, and June told them to call me. And we haven't worked all the particulars out on it yet. I've just started. But I anticipate that we're going to have them come in through Manning, come straight up Anchor,
mm-hmm.
straight up Anchor to Park, and straight down Park and out of the city. In order to 63 and back down to Rossi.
Okay.
I don't know how long it takes to get 300 motorcycles too, but wow. It's probably talking almost a mile of motorcycles by the time you get it through. I'll be working with Alfred and seeing what we can do by getting some barricades. And I already talked to, we're going to have some explorers out there on some of the side streets on Anchor.
Beautiful.
Make sure no cars come through. And the same, we're also going to try to get them to help a little bit on the 5K run. The night of the March the 28th, as Tom mentioned, the fire department dinner, and I'll be having some officers there for security, and then those will be volunteers. It's not going to be costing the city anything. They'll be volunteers.
That's the 28th of March?
28th of March, Saturday.
Good.
And that starts at 6 p.m. 6 to midnight, I think. They're going to have a band, and Tom's very given in particular for that.
Right.
The 3rd of April, which is a Friday night, is the St. Isidore Church procession for Easter. And they'll be here at the park, and I'll have officers for that as well. It's just going to be a down and forth and up straight up to the church. Starts at 5:30. We last year I think it took us about an hour, and basically they go in a group, and that'll be easier. I'll just leapfrog officers to the next street. I'll be at the tail end, make sure nobody gets run over from the back, and somebody. Following morning, Saturday the 4th of April, is our annual Easter egg hunt right here in the park. And I haven't got, David hasn't given me all the particulars tonight yet, but we'll be assisting on that as well. Then the 11th of April is a harvest festival. And I understand they're going to have a parade starting at 9 o'clock in the morning.
11.
11 in the morning?
Yeah, they're at 10.
Okay. So anyway, we haven't worked out all the particulars on that, but I know we're going to be closing the center from Railroad to Park, closing Park right up here in front, and then closing right here, what we normally do by the playground. And I know they want to have a beer garden there, and Manuel's talking about a live band also from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m., at which time everything will cease. I told him we'll work with him on that, and I'm waiting for all the particulars from the chamber to give us particulars on that, so we can get a little more information as to what exactly we're going to need in the way of manpower or whatever. So that's it for the monthly portion. If you guys have any questions on any of this,
Council, do you have any questions, Chief? Any questions? I just think you're doing an outstanding job. Congratulations. Excellent work.
And then the only next thing I want is just the crime stats for the month. I've given you a copy of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that we had 7 Part 1 crimes in February, from 5 the month before. And year to date, we're 12. We've had 12 year to date. And then on Part 2 crimes, year to date, we've had 9. And 3 of them were narcotics this past month, and 1 was a runaway. And that's our 4 for the month of February. Traffic statistics, we've had 4 traffic accidents each of the last 2 months. No fatalities. We had 1 injury accident in February. That was a minor injury. And we've had two non-injury accidents in February, and we had one hit and run. As far as enforcement statistics, you asked us to give more citations. And you can see last month, February, we gave 42 citations. The month before, we gave 25. We went from 113 to 156 vehicle stops, so now we've got 269 for the year-to-date. We had one seatbelt violation, 7 speed violations, 21 stop sign violations. And that increased from 2 the month before. We were really nailing for the stop signs and for the speed, as everybody's been requesting. And you can see the arrests that we have there, and our juvenile arrest detention were 2, and adults we had 6. Thing that we're noticing a lot is we're having a lot of mental health issues. We've got about 3 or 4 people that keep us busy with as far as mental health calls. And one in particular in Orchard Village is really becoming a headache. I mean, we are dealing with him about 4 times a day. About 4 times a day, he speeds around that blue Suburban, and he gets very combative.
Wow.
Gets very combative. In fact, the dog bit him the other day. And agency assists, we had 31 this last month, and you can see that, look at the vehicles towed and released there, and I'll be happy to answer any questions regarding the...
Counsel, any questions, Chief?
No, I've seen more enforcement from your officers at the school, so...
I told you, yeah. Not only worked the high school and the middle school, but also over here on the other streets. So
yeah.
And, you know, part of the problem, too, is, like, over here, a lot of the public, we haven't cited anybody, but they jaywalk across the street with their kids in tow.
Yeah.
You know, they're just teaching the kids bad right off the get-go.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to have to start educating them a little bit more.
But we're out on the what crosswalk?
Right. Some of them don't even use a crosswalk. They just park across from a court and on.
Oh, okay. You're talking about that section over there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
So.
Yeah, well.
I'm glad you guys, the cameras are going in at Orchard Village, you know. I think it's going to help because I think that's from what I hear, that's the worst part of town. You know, I mean, I know your service calls are mostly in the south part of town, you know.
And that's
not to put the south part of town down, but you know, I know a lot of it is in that area, but
yeah.
I think it'll be good though.
I can tell you that across the street, and time I've been here, I think we've had 2 calls there that I can think of. In Orchard Village, we get several calls a day.
Yes, and I see the department a lot more active in the community, a lot. I see the officers a lot, and makes me happy to see them. They're out there doing their job, and I know the community appreciates it very much. Yes, sir.
Any other questions?
Thank you for all your hard work.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
All righty. And now we go to our attorney's report.
Mr. Mayor, I have nothing to report.
Thank you. And we'll go to the city manager's report.
I just want to report one item. Most of you, Mayor and Council, on March 6th, which is a Friday, we had a leak on South Avenue. And I just wanted to publicly thank all the public work staff that were out there. You know, they were out there until about 3 o'clock in the morning, and we had some assistance from a general engineering contractor that we know that came out and assisted us with that project. We were able to get over 300 residents water back by 10. Except for the one residence that the leak was happening at. We got them watered the that following morning, but we avoided a pretty big disaster. I'd like to thank Tom for helping us out there as well, where we provided potable drinking water and also for any other needs they might have with Tom's transportation, potable tanks that he has. And we provided it because what we had was 2 apartment complexes that were out of water because we had to isolate in order for us to fix the leak. So we got that done with minor problems there. The residents were happy that we provided them water at least during the meantime while we worked on the project. Today we had that repaved with hot mix and got that project done. and then a couple areas that that required that as well. We did four of the areas. A water leak that we had on 2nd and Park Boulevard, that was fixed, and then also Pat Today section at Gutierrez, that new subdivision to the north of us here. On that entrance road, we patched that work there too. There's a huge pothole that was patched, and then a couple other areas that we had. So just wanted, that's what I have wanted to report, and just thank Public Works staff for doing a good job. Because I only stayed there till 12 once I knew the situation was under control and the leak was repaired, and I went home Friday night. But they stayed till about 3 o'clock, finishing that up.
Yeah, thank them for on behalf of City Council. Yeah. Excellent. And Tom, thank you, Tom, for your support. You're always there for Orange Cove. Excellent job. Great job. Okay, we go to City Council. Mr. Garcia, Councilman.
Well, I just wanted to report that, you know, I attended the WELL conference last week in Palm Springs. I learned a lot, actually, about water and how water is allocated, and, you know, I didn't know, you know, the background of it, but it's really interesting. You know, I took a tour of the Salton Sea. That was quite interesting. You know, I didn't even know it was only, I think they said it was like only 40 feet deep. I thought it was deeper than that. But it's only 40 feet deep, so it's not really that deep. But it's interesting, you know, how they're using that now. They're utilizing that Salton Sea, and now they're using geothermal, because there's lava beds there that were steam. You know, they're utilizing that now, using that for electricity. And we got to visit one of their plants there, and it smelled awful. I mean, it had like a weird smell, but hey, I mean, it was really nice, though. It was really, I mean, I learned a lot. I really did. I came back with a pamphlet that I'm going to let you see and the rest of you. But it's interesting how it was formed, you know, how it was formed, the Salton Sea. And it's actually the salt level in that water is, I think, 55 parts per billion. Oh, I don't know how that works, but anyway, it's like maybe like I think 25 or 35% more than the sea, the ocean. So it's very salty, but not as salty as the salt lakes in Utah. That one I think is like 250%. So, but actually, it's I learned a lot though. You know, to see other people, you know, throughout the state and what they're going through. You know, the droughts and all that situation and what they're doing to alleviate that and. It's interesting. It was really neat. I like that.
It's great. Thank you, sir. Councilwoman?
I also attended the WELL conference, and there was a lot to take in, a lot to learn, and it was interesting how different cities deal with their problems. I didn't do the tour because I get carsick. But it was a good experience to get out there.
Great. Vice Mayor?
I think one of the greater issues that I came away from the conference abroad was that really the smaller cities weren't really, you know, with the gravity of the situation and with the lack of water, it wasn't really... addressed. It really wasn't addressed, and I was looking forward to something like that. But there was a topic about the delta. About 76% of that delta water is going to the ocean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and there was a gentleman. I mean, everybody's got their own opinions and belief, whatever you want. That's okay. But. He was saying, well, you know, these species are going to go extinct if we don't take care of them. Well, if we don't take care of ourselves, we're going to go extinct,
yeah.
You know, because we need water. But that, I mean, if I walked away with anything, was that, you know, the delta issue, the water. And we in the valley, I mean, we could use some of that. And I water is a very, it's a precious commodity. Mm-hmm. And... I just, you know, it was an eye-opener. I don't know a whole lot, you know, like the different jargon that goes with the water, but I was able to figure it out. And I enjoyed it very, I really enjoyed it very much, and I met people, and it was good to see old friends again.
Yeah. One thing that I learned also, I attended that, is the amount of money that it's costing to clean the water, to reuse. It just blows your mind, I see, to see how we going to do that right there. Another thing that surprised me is that this organization that invited us to go, they're more into the environmental side than what we're dealing in, because I was so shocked to hear that there's an abundance of storage when the main issue that we had concern here was to pass the bond issue is lack of storage because the water's going to the ocean. So it contradicted itself, and a young lady from Delano brought it up. She said, you know, this is a thing where we're going to have to team up together and work collectively if we're going to get any place. If they're going to go the opposite direction and we're going to go, nothing's going to be resolved. But it was good that everybody concurred with that, we're going to have to work together to solve this major, major problem. Okay? I was going to mention the celebration we're going to have for the farm workers on what date is that?
27th.
March 27th. We're going to be working with EDD, Proteus, and all the organizations. We're going to work with our chamber. We're going to honor the farm workers and the farmers. It'll be a very special celebration with food and refreshments, and there'll be a lot of information to be disseminated to what's going on a lot of the issues that concern our communities. So I want everybody to. The city sent out a notice on it already.
Yeah.
Flyer on it. That was good. So we're hoping that we have a lot of folks participate in that event, and it's an honor for Orange Cove. This is the first time Orange Cove is going to do this. We have never honored our farmers and our farm workers, but I think that it's going to be a good thing for all of us. At the same time, we have invited all the mayors and all the council people from all the other cities, and they're going to join us here in Orange Cove to celebrate. So
yeah, it's a regional event, so it's not just in Orange Cove, but it's being
regional event, right? And another thing that I have a very close friend of mine that just got appointed by the governor as one of the top-notch persons in the Department of Water and Resources, by the name of Martha Guzman Aceves. Me and her go back 20 years. It's good to hear that we have a friend that we can talk to her about our situations and see how we, Orange Cove, can benefit, you know, because she said she is there to help us with issues of concerns. We have a lot of concerns with the water issues. So it was well attended. Everybody had a lot of concerns. It's serious, and I think that it's good when we all collectively come together and say we're going to fight together and we're going to victory together. So that's end of my report. Now, next issue is we're going to a closed session?
No.
We're going to table that or reschedule?
Mayor, yes, we're going to reschedule that to the March 25th City Council
March 25th meeting. Great. Okay, we'll come back to City Council. Is there any further reports? Being none, thank you very much. Meeting adjourned.